Good day, and welcome to today's Barratt Redrow plc third quarter trading update conference call hosted by David Thomas, Group Chief Executive Officer, Stephen Boyes, Deputy Group Chief Executive Officer and Chief Operating Officer, and Mike Scott, Group Chief Financial Officer. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. You may register for questions at any time by pressing star one on your telephone keypad. Now it is my pleasure to hand the call over to David Thomas, Group Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Thanks very much for joining us on this, our third quarter trading update call. As usual, Stephen and Mike are here with me this morning, and after some opening comments from me, we'll then be happy to move on to questions. First of all, I would like to start off by thanking all of our employees, our subcontractors, and our suppliers for their continued commitment and hard work, which clearly underpins the solid performance that I'm going to take you through today. I'm really pleased with the progress that we've made on the integration of Redrow into the group, and our colleagues are working together closely as we deliver the cost and revenue synergies that we've previously set out. Moving on to trading, the new homes market has been stable throughout the period, helped by a more competitive mortgage environment. Our private reservation rate of 0.62, excluding PRS and other multi-unit sales, was slightly ahead of last year on an aggregated basis. Performance was broadly consistent across the period, and we've not seen any material impact from the end of the stamp duty holiday. Including PRS and other multi-unit sales, our overall reservation rate was 3% lower than last year, reflecting the timing of transactions and their relatively lumpy nature. As we outlined in February, we still expect to increase our overall participation in the PRS market in the medium term. We operated from an average of 419 outlets in the quarter, which was lower than last year, as we had previously guided. We expect to see outlet openings through the remainder of this year and into FY26, as we grow to our medium-term target of 475 to 525 outlets. Reservation activity from affordable housing providers remains subdued, but our private order book was up by 3% in the quarter. This increase reflected modest underlying sales price inflation, a lower proportion of PRS units within the order book, and site mix benefits. Consistent with our previous guidance, we expect total build cost inflation will be broadly flat for the year to the 29th of June. Whilst the outlook for build cost inflation is less certain for FY26, we currently anticipate this to be between 1 and 2%, and we are working closely with our supply chain partners to secure sustainable and competitive pricing and to realise the synergy benefits of the enlarged business. On the Redrow integration progress, our divisional office rationalisation is progressing to plan. Integration activities across head office functions are also progressing well, and the migration of Redrow onto Barratt systems is set to begin shortly. Our procurement teams are also building momentum as we initially harmonise buying terms and then work to ensure our purchasing scale is optimised to unlock the synergies. As a result of these activities, we are making good progress towards our cost synergy target of 100 million per annum. Pleasingly too, on revenue synergies, we have already submitted planning applications on 9 of the 45 incremental sales outlets being targeted, with a significant number in the pipeline for the balance of FY25. Our financial position remains strong. The share buyback announced in February is ongoing, and as previously guided, we continue to expect to report net cash of between 500 and 600 million at the year end. Now turning to the outlook, we continue to expect to deliver FY25 total completions at between 16,800 and 17,200 homes, including around 600 joint venture completions. Whilst macroeconomic activity uncertainty has increased, we remain encouraged by the government's ongoing commitment to increasing house building activity and proposed supply-side support. As we outlined at our capital markets update, we look forward to the future with confidence as we leverage our three differentiated brands and our strong land bank. Together with our commitment to quality, service and sustainability and our position as a partner of choice, this means that we are well positioned to grow the business to deliver 22,000 home completions in the medium term. Thank you, and we will now be happy to move on to questions.
Thank you, sir. As a reminder, to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. And please make sure the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, it is star 1 to ask a question. So the first question is from Zaim Bikawa from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Morning. Thanks for taking my questions. Just a few on my side. One would be just on the incentives level where we are now. And I think you mentioned at the start, but just confirming no material impact from the stamp duty land changes there. And then second question would be on, you know, we've seen from the Labour government enacting $2 billion investment in social and affordable homes and more to come post the spending review. Maybe can talk about sort of your expectations or what would be on your wish list then. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, good morning. I think Mike will pick up in terms of the incentive levels, and if I pick up in terms of stamp duty and affordable housing. So I think we've said that, you know, we've not seen any material impact from the end of the stamp duty holiday. And I think that's very consistent with what we said back in February, you know, that generally at Barratt Redrow or within the house building industry, there doesn't tend to be a lot of stock availability. So when it was confirmed at the budget in November that the stamp duty holiday was still going to come to an end at the end of March, I think most of the activity around that would have been in the second-hand market rather than the new build market. So no real impact there. In terms of affordable homes, well, I think probably just to make two points. I mean, one, the government have been very clear that they want more homes of all tenures to be built. So whether that be private rental or affordable homes within the Section 106 programme. So we would expect all tenures to increase as we move forward. In terms of affordable homes in particular, the housing associations are looking for a settlement that is certainly at or above the rate of inflation, and they're also looking for a settlement that would be beyond a five-year horizon. So we would clearly support that and understand the need for the housing associations to receive that, but we'll just need to wait and see what the government says with regard to the settlement.
Morning, Zaim. Just on incentive levels, I think pretty consistent with what we said in February, to be honest, so still around the 6% mark. Customers are still very deal-focused when they come onto site, so the incentive levels have been a little bit sticky through the quarter. And similar to what we were saying in February, if you look at sort of underlying pricing, underlying house price inflation, probably running around the 1% mark on a like-for-like home basis. So again, that's all, you know, pretty similar to where we've been trending through the last few months.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll then move to our next question from Clyde Lewis from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead.
Morning, all. I think I've got two, if I may. One probably on the sort of government's attitude, I suppose, to supporting demand rather than supply. David, I mean, you talked about, again, the supply side sort of help that the government have come through. How, do you think they've got to a point where they actually think they need to do something to help demand side? I mean, obviously, we've talked about stamp duty holiday ending. I mean, the, right now, there's nothing supporting the demand side. So I'm just wondering on your take on that. And the second one was really around cancellation rates and whether you've seen any sort of noticeable change on that side. And also within that, I suppose, some question around sort of mortgage appraisals again, whether you've noticed any sort of different pattern. You talked about sort of mortgages becoming more competitive in terms of the products that are out there. So I'm just wondering whether you've seen any sort of tweak to how the banks are approaching sort of mortgage sort of requests from customers.
Hi, good morning. If I pick those up, I mean, just first of all, in terms of the sort of backdrop of cancellation rates, as you know, we clearly monitor cancellations, we monitor down valuations. We get evidence coming through of mortgage refusals. And I would say that is just an unchanged landscape. The cancellation position has been stable. In terms of down valuations, you know, they're kind of at record low levels. So very, very low levels in terms of down valuations. And we don't see any issues in terms of mortgage approvals. In terms of the government on the demand side stimulus, you know, I think we've been clear and I think quite consistent that we can clearly see benefits of demand side stimulus. I mean, if you are a first time buyer, then there is clearly a kind of generational inequality in terms of your access to a government product. You know, that there has been government support in the market for first-time buyers over a very long period of time, and there is no effective support in the market for first-time buyers. So we've been clear about that. We also think that it's not unreasonable that if the government put in place that type of scheme, that the house builders should pay to access the scheme. That would be no different from New Buy, which the house builders launched in conjunction with government back in 2012, and the house builders paid for access to that scheme. So I think the first-time buyers in certain parts of the country have clearly very significant challenges around affordability. In terms of the government's view of that, ultimately the government's view of that will be determined as to whether they do or don't launch demand-side support. So that's a question for them to answer. Thanks, Clyde.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Charlie Kendall from Stifel. Please go ahead.
Morning. A couple of questions, just to sort of as a follow-up as well. Comments on the build cost inflation of 1 or 2% for FY26. Do you think there's any benefit from you know, changes in commodity prices, energy prices, maybe goods coming out of the Far East sort of since the tariff changes that might impact that as well? And then the second question just on mortgages again, and I know this is sort of obviously very new news, but Lloyds changing kind of stress tests, what sort of impact do you think that might have on mortgage availability going forward? Thank you.
Charlie, good morning, Charlie. Thank you very much. If I pick up on mortgages, and then I think I'll ask both Stephen and Mike to comment in relation to build cost inflation. And I think what Stephen can do is maybe just give you some flavour in terms of our sourcing, whereas you know the majority of our sourcing is from the UK. And then Mike can talk about the kind of 1% to 2% in terms of our guidance position.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. In terms of mortgages, I think the reality is, Charlie, that any freeing up in relation to mortgage lending is clearly a positive in terms of consumer demand position. Now, we recognise that there's got to be discipline around mortgage lending. And if you look at where the market is now from a lending point of view compared to where the market was 15 plus years ago, I think you would say it is a very, very disciplined market. There is very, very clear governance and guidelines around the way that the banks lend. And the stress testing regime was put in place for a reason. I think as bank base rates have moved up substantially from where they were 3 years ago, say, you can understand that some of these stress tests need to be looked at in terms of the way that they're applied in the market. So there's been different announcements over the last 18 months, and all of them will help in terms of the availability of mortgage products for the customer.
Thank
you. Stephen, you like to just talk about sourcing?
Yeah. Certainly, David. Yes, good morning, Charlie. In terms of material sourcing, if you put it into context, Charlie, that about 90% of our materials are manufactured or assembled in the UK, which is a pretty high proportion. And within that, there's about 30% of the product as an overseas content. So an example of that would be our kitchen units are clearly manufactured in the UK, predominantly from UK material, but the items such as drawer runners, hinges, handles are imported. So as I say, 30% of that would be imported. In terms of our main imports, that's mainly appliances, garage doors, things like that, which come in from Germany generally. If you're looking to the Far East, China, Asia, we import very, very little. Things like bathroom taps, door furniture, handles, stuff like that. I think maybe one area where we may see some movement would be around PV. A lot of the PV is coming from China, so there may be some sort of reductions in PV going forward. But predominantly, as I say, the vast majority of our materials are UK sourced, manufactured, minimal imports in terms of items, but some overseas content where there's very little movement we see. Over to Mike.
Thanks, Charlie. The only thing I'd add to that is just in terms of the overall shape of the inflation. Again, labour inflation is probably running ahead of materials. So we're seeing things like the national insurance increase come through in the supply chain and so on. So, you know, within that 1 to 2, the labour would be sort of towards the upper end of that range and materials probably to the lower end, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Thanks, Raj.
Thanks, Charlie.
Our next question comes from Marcus Cole from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning. Yeah, I've got two questions as well. I just wondered in terms of since the planning policy changes, has there been any noticeable difference in terms of the time it's taking to actually receive detailed planning permission? And then in terms of the second one, I just noticed that where the swap rate has reduced over recent weeks given US tariffs and this morning's UK inflation print, I just wondered what your latest thoughts on what mortgage rate do you think is needed before we start to see house prices inflecting? Thanks.
Marcus, thanks. I mean, I think if I pick up both of those, I mean, just in terms of the planning policy changes, as you know, the backdrop has been that since July 24, the government have been crystal clear about the direction of travel on planning. That was outlined in letters to the local authorities from the Deputy Prime Minister back in July. However, the production of the bill in terms of the planning and the infrastructure bill and the passing of that bill into an act clearly takes time, and we're now at the stage where that's going to go through the House of Commons and then the House of Lords. So the legislative policy backdrop has not changed. I would say overall, there is a more positive sentiment to planning, and the government have underlined that at a national level with decisions around airports, around you know, the Lower Thames Crossing and so on. But in terms of any material change to the planning environment, I would say no. But clearly, we would expect that that material change will come when the Act comes into law. In terms of mortgage rates overall, look, I think it's not just about mortgage rates. I mean, we had a very, very strong environment for house building and house building demand back in 2006, 2007, where base rates were at higher levels than they are now. I think it's much more about the overall affordability equation. So where we're seeing modest increases in house prices, we're seeing quite significant salary inflation, and we're seeing a reduction in the bank base rate, then that is a positive recipe in terms of demand. So as we move through 25, we are expecting to see further base rate reductions. And whilst some of that is in the forward yield curves, the forward forecasts, I think for the consumer, the actual change in base rates is very, very important. I think that really adds the confidence that we are heading in the right direction rather than just the thought that we might be heading in the right direction.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Alison Sun from Bank of America, please go ahead.
Hi, morning. Just one question from my side. So following up on the cost inflation, 1-2% in 2026, do we have a sense that the housing price growth might be higher than that level based on the pricing you have seen in the order book right now? Thank you.
Yeah, so just coming back to what I said earlier, Alison, I think, you know, if we look, we have a measure which looks at the same house type on the same development year on year. So it's the closest we can come to a like-for-like measure. It probably covers about a third of the portfolio, so it's not, you know, it's not everything. And that measure is running at roughly 1% year on year. But obviously within the structure of the P&L, 1% of house price inflation would be enough to cover broadly 2% of bill cost inflation. So, you know, that's how we see it playing through at the moment.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question is from Ami Galla from Citi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Just a few questions from me. The first one was just coming back to current trading and in terms of the sort of site visits and website traffic trends that you're seeing, can you give us some color on the profile of buyers that you're seeing into this year? You know, has it at all changed into the sort of spring trading at all? And the second question I had was on the land market. If you can give us some color as what are you seeing on land availability and as well as the competition in the land market? And the last one was on London mix. You know, there's been a couple of sort of snippets in the press around some appetite of looking at London land. Can you give us a color as to where does London stand within the sort of current mix and how are you seeing that market, one on the land side as well as maybe on the demand profile?
Amy, hi, good morning. So if I pick up in terms of current trading and also London, and then you know, Stephen can just talk about the land market. We've published numbers this morning on land in terms of our land approvals, but Stephen can talk a bit about what we're seeing in the land market. So, look, in terms of current trading, I mean, I would say overall, there's no noticeable change in relation to trends as we moved through the first quarter in terms of buyer types. Generally, what I would say on buyer types is what we've seen over the last couple of years is that the increase in interest rates and the general uncertainty particularly affects, for different reasons, the first-time buyer and the downsizer. So all of our brands will clearly have first-time buyers and they will have downsizers. But Barrett, I would particularly, Barrett Homes particularly call out in terms of first-time buyers. And inevitably, there has been less first-time buyers in the market. And we've documented that through our updates over the last couple of years. And then if you look at downsizers, Redrow would have seen a high proportion of downsizers coming through 2022. And I think for the downsizers, for different reasons, they can choose to sit tight in their existing property. So my sense is that both of those are seeing an improving position from what we saw during, say, 2023. But nonetheless, they are still relatively subdued parts of the market. In terms of London, just before I pass over to Stephen on land, so on London, we are very, very positive in terms of the London market. You know, we've operated in the London market for 40 years. There is 9.5 million people in Greater London, and we see that the opportunities in the market are very significant. If you went back to around about 2017, you know, we said that really we saw that our operation in London would mainly be about zones 3 to 6, that we wouldn't look at development, particularly in zone 1 and 2. And that is still very much our position. We have been active in the London market, and we see that we have a very strong pipeline of sites coming through in London. We've said previously that we are, you know, in a preferred partner status with TfL for the in the West London partnership, and that gives us access to a number of TfL sites, some really, really fantastic opportunities that are already coming through into the market. Affordability in London, we recognise, is a challenge, and London, particularly in the first-time buyer market, has been much more subdued in the last couple of years. But when we look forward over the next 3 to 5 years, we unquestionably see growth coming from our London business. Stephen?
Thanks, David. Yeah, good morning. In terms of lands, we're seeing pretty good availability. That's evidenced by the approvals we've had year to date of something like 15,300 plots across 82 sites. So a pretty strong performance. We've got good visibility of a number of excellent opportunities on the horizon. Generally, I've said there's sites that have been held back for the last 2 years when the market was a bit subdued have been flowing through in the last 6 months, so hence there's been a good flow of land availability. But in addition to that, there are more consented sites coming through on the horizon. We monitor the planning applications being submitted, so there's a lot of new plan applications in the planning system that we expect to come through in the next 12 months. And sites that were previously stuck with some of the neutrality issues seem to be now being resolved, so there's, again, better availability in those areas. In terms of dynamics, clearly we're rigorously applying our hurdle rates. And there is a trend for larger sites coming through. There's a lot of sites around the 500, 600 units mark, which are ideal for Barratt Redrow on the basis of three brands. And we think there's definitely better terms available on those sort of sites than, say, the sites at 100 to 150 units, where you were seeing much more competition from the SMEs. And the only other thing I'd say, in terms of land going forward, we've got a pretty good visibility in terms of our own strategic land flowing through. We've had something like 17 approvals so far this year, and we've got something like another 60 applications currently under determination, which we expect to be coming through in the next sort of 6 to 9 months. So land availability from our point of view is good. Some large sites which are ideally suited to Barratt Redrow, so very positive.
Thanks, Stephen. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
And our next question is from Rajesh Bhatki from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. I've got two questions, please. First one is on the private order book, which is lower than last year on a units basis. Do you see that as a cause for worry, or is it just a tougher comparison base? And also, if you could add any color on the mix and underlying pricing in it. And secondly, just to come back on build cost inflation of 1 to 2% for next year, sorry about that, but this includes procurement synergies, I believe. So could you help understanding the gross figure there? Thank you.
Thanks very much. I think I'll pass both of them over to Mike in terms of both parts of the question.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Hi, Rajesh. So first of all, on the order book, I think that's really a function of the lower outlet numbers. You know, as we've guided, outlet numbers on average will be lower this year. So the sort of trough point was just around Christmas. So that's fed into the order book, given the sales rate that we've achieved. So I don't think anything that we're worried about there. I think that's trending in line with where we would have expected it to be you know, given the other guidance. And on pricing, I mean, I think, you know, we talked a bit earlier about the underlying pricing that we're seeing across the book. I think within the order book, there's a bit of mix going on there in terms of, you know, the sort of north-south mix and so on that affects pricing. But if you look at pricing on an underlying basis, you know, we would see that as being up around 1% on our like-for-like measure. And then just to the second part, sorry, I didn't catch all the question, but I think you were asking how much procurement synergy was in our build cost inflation assumptions. The reality is a little bit, but not a huge amount, because we haven't realised all of the procurement synergies yet, as we were saying in February. You know, they take a while to negotiate with suppliers and get into our agreements. And then obviously it takes a little bit longer than that to be seen in the P&L. So not a huge amount. There's a little bit in that assumption. But generally most of it, I would say, is just underlying, you know, costs that we're seeing.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question is from Shane Carberry from Goodbody. Please go ahead.
Morning, all. Just one from me. It's just to go back around incentive levels again. Just given how consistent, I guess, the sales rate has been now for a sustainable period, when do you start thinking about tweaking that? Do you need to see the sales rates move along a little bit more, or is it the kind of underlying HPI that you need to see tick up slightly more before you'd think about tweaking that?
Yeah, Shane, it's Mike here. Hi. I think, I mean, it's a fair point. And as I said, I think, you know, the customer mindset is that when they're coming onto site, they, you know, they want to talk about a deal. They've, you know, been seeing that over the past couple of years. So we are moving prices, but the way we're doing it really at the moment is through gross pricing. So that's what's contributing to the underlying HPI. And then we're dealing off a slightly higher gross price, if that makes sense. So clearly, as you know, if we think demand is firming up and we're seeing sales rates increasing from where they are, then clearly we would like to try and reduce the incentive levels over time. But I think, you know, the customer position is still, you know, it's kind of stable. It's not strong enough to be in that position yet, you know, but we have been able to generate good levels of demand with the pricing and incentive mix that we have. But it's obviously something that we keep under review literally week to week on all of our sites.
Helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1. We will pause for just a moment to allow you to signal. There are no further questions at this time. With this, I'd like to hand the call back over to David Thomas for any additional or closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. And yes, just once again, thank you very much for dialing in. Thank you for your questions. And we will be back in July for a further update after the full year has closed. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.